Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings. Welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
We'll have more on the National Football League. The big win by the Dolphins, because it's big because they get a win. That means the Jets are closer to Trevor Lawrence. We'll have that coming up in a few minutes. We're going to have Rick Bucher stop by in a couple minutes to take a look back at the Lakers' huge Game 4 victory. They beat the Nuggets 114-108. They take a 3-1 lead in this series. Anthony Davis has been unstoppable. 34 points tonight, despite the fact he got dinged up a little bit late. LeBron, a near triple-double, 26-9-8. We talked about the supporting cast of the Lakers a few minutes ago that really came through tonight, despite not having one guy playing phenomenal. The Lakers got a lot from their cast. Meanwhile, for Jamal Murray, it was 32 for him and really not a lot. Jokic was ineffective because of foul trouble. Jeremy Grant fell off in the second half. And, Mike, you know, as the Nuggets look back at this, right, you know, and they look at this series, you're going to be able to point to many things and say, okay, why are we down 3-1? Or if they wind up losing, why did we lose? And you're going to point to so many different things. Like, well, look, when KCP came off the bench, you know, playoff Rondo. But in the end, the Nuggets can point to one thing, and they're going to point and they're going to say, Anthony Davis was unguardable. We couldn't stop him.
Malone said that coming into the series, right?
Look, we're not set up to stop him, and we have to figure out a way. He said after game one, look, if we play like that, it's going to be a short series. They're just not – they just don't have the personnel that it's a good matchup with Anthony Davis. You know, we talk about teams and why they're good matchups, and that's what it is in the NBA all the time, and this team is a good matchup for this team. But personally, Anthony Davis is a horrendous matchup for the Denver Nuggets. There's nobody that can stop him. 37, 31, 27, 34. That's what he's had throughout the series. He's shooting over 50% from the floor. He's making threes, including the big one. He's making all his free throws. I mean, he has been the one. Malone, they're all going to say, we just couldn't stop him. You can talk about LeBron all you want and everything. We couldn't stop AD, and that's what it's going to come down to.
No, I mean, look, LeBron, the larger question is, are we watching a little bit of the erosion? Same conversation we've been having about Drew Brees, right? Of, well, where's he at physically, and is father time finally, you know, kicking in the door a little bit? The numbers might be there, but the performance isn't the clean performance that you're used to. Certainly not shooting as well and taking games over as we're accustomed to. Some big plays, right? Some bursts here and there, but that overall flow, it's now, you know, that Robin thing is really important here with Anthony Davis putting up the numbers. And in the low post, they just have no match for it. It's just a terrible, terrible setup, particularly when you start Dwight Howard and he's attacking the rim as he is, drawing some early fouls, and that upsets the balance, right? As soon as Jokic is in a bit of foul trouble, who's stepping in to that rotation to try to Plumlee? Come on. That's just not going to work. So you're at a distinct disadvantage, and that's what we're seeing. They own the boards tonight, second chances, and then certainly at the foul line, they got back to it after their long PowerPoint presentation to the NBA of the fouls that weren't called in game three. I can only see it. All right, here, let me blow this up right here. Look at, he's got him by the arm. Here he is, grabbing his jersey and snatching his chain, all of those things. So, yeah, it's dire straits for Denver, and Anthony Davis right now is your MVP.
But is it really dire straits, or do the Nuggets have the Lakers right where they want them? With us now on the hotline, you know him as Matt Bucher's dad. He is Rick Bucher. On Twitter, at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, Insider Extraordinaire. What's happening, Rick?
Oh, I'm just living the dream, brother. How are you?
Good, man. You know that's going to happen. Eventually, you're going to be Matt's dad. You know, you're Rick Bucher. Eventually, you know Matt's dad, Rick. Oh, yeah, you're going to be Matt's dad.
He's been doing that at schools for years, right, Rick?
100%. Well, and with the Matt did the podcast with me, my last podcast, and he was calling Tyler Hero a hero all the way back in high school. And Summer League, saw him in Summer League with me and said he's going to be Rookie of the Year. Now, obviously, he wasn't, but he was calling Tyler Hero as being a great player. He's the first guy I know who started talking about Tyler Hero, and that was before he went to Kentucky or certainly blew up at Miami. So the change in the hierarchy may not be that far off.
Note to self, next week, book Matt Buecher, not Rick Buecher. So with tonight's game, Rick, you know, here the Lakers, we saw the Nuggets at the same point they were a series ago. Is this, hey, 3-1 Lakers a series over, or is this the series has been close and the Nuggets still have a shot?
No, I feel as if the Nuggets look, the Nuggets have to play efficient basketball, and they have to get not good but great performances out of both Jamal Murray and Jokic, and then they need other guys to contribute or at least not to detract. And in close games, I like the execution of the Denver Nuggets. I think that in close games, if it is a possession by possession game, or certainly if they have a lead, that they have the ability to close out games on the Lakers. The key, there's a couple keys, and one of the reasons tonight's game was from the beginning I had bad feelings for Denver, because Jokic did not come out with anything close to the same energy he did in Game 3, and he was playing against somebody that was going to actually require more energy than JaVale McGee. And that was Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard getting 4 easy putbacks on Jokic in the opening minutes was exactly what the Lakers wanted, and was exactly what Jokic couldn't do, and the Denver Nuggets in general. And the fact that Jokic finished with 16-7 in 36, 37 minutes, I think 4 assists. I'm not always on statistics, but it was a reflection. Those numbers were a reflection of Jokic's activity. He was not active, and he was allowing a lot of the ancillary players to get what they needed. And then LeBron guarding Jamal down the stretch was a difference maker. AD also, I mean, look, Game 3, we saw AD got his numbers, LeBron got his numbers, but AD had to work for all of his numbers because Rajon Rondo was not the same playmaker he was tonight or in Game 2. And that's really the difference. When AD and LeBron can be great and Denver can still win. But if the Lakers are getting something from LeBron, AD, and Rajon Rondo, Rajon's going to make it easier, is going to get AD easy buckets. He's going to take some of the playmaking off of LeBron's plate so he can utilize that energy in other ways. And that, to me, is the real X factor with the Lakers. Denver did a nice job of limiting the damage done by Rondo, and it forced AD to work much, much harder just to get the buckets that he got. Tonight, Denver did not win the battle of outworking the Lakers. They did not contain Rondo, and that's why you got the result that you did. But I think it's within their power to change that dynamic and at least win Game 5.
A little bit of a turn back the clock sequencing for Dwight Howard early in the game, as you mentioned, Rick.
Yep.
I thought that set the tone because you just watched down low. They were getting whatever they wanted for the balance of the night. And they got all those free throws that they went and did the big presentation on. So advantage Lakers.
And that's the other thing, that I think Jokic took 2 free throws. That was a complete change from what he did in Game 3. And for what Denver has, their 2 stars have to be great. And then, you know, Jeremy Grant is going to contribute. You got other guys that will do some things, but Denver is a top-heavy team in the same way that the Lakers are a top-heavy team. If Jokic and Jamal are not on, then it's going to be very difficult for them to win.
Rick Buecher with us, Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Now, as far as LeBron goes, Rick, he has had a very good playoff.
Yeah.
Watching him play now compared to the last time you saw him in the playoffs, Is it close? Is it he's a completely different player? Is it father time is really starting to affect him? What do you see seeing LeBron now compared to the last time he was in the playoffs?
Well, I think he has to pick his – I mean, he's always picked his spots progressively as his career has gone on. But I see him doing more of that. I think what's really different in this, and I haven't looked at his numbers in the final 5 minutes tonight, but in the previous two games, Anthony Davis had to be what he was in game two, because LeBron in the final 5 minutes had three turnovers, three missed shots, one air ball, three. I mean, basically was not a factor in the final 5 minutes of the game. And he wasn't much more of a factor in the final 5 minutes of game four. I think he was 1 for 3. He had one assist, one turnover. And that's where against younger teams, against teams outside of maybe the Golden State Warriors, LeBron is known, I am the best player. I am the most experienced player. I am the matchup that they don't have an answer for. And he's been able to impose his will in those final minutes in a way, even if he's a playmaker as opposed to a scorer. That's what's been surprising to me, and it's why everybody's saying Anthony Davis is going to decide whether the Lakers win a championship or not, is because LeBron is not taking over games. He, in stretches, he gets it going. But in terms of being able to determine when he's going to take over and to take over in the final minutes, I have not seen it, certainly in this series in the last few games. And that's something that I'll be watching closely as we go on here, because the reality is, playing every other day for him at 35, you can see the energy slowly dissipating. And it will be interesting to see if this series goes longer, and if, the Miami Heat, I mean, I really hope we get a Heat-Lakers final, because there are so many storylines there in terms of Pat Riley. I mean, Pat Riley, the great Laker, and his getting revenge for LeBron pulling the rug and suddenly leaving Miami, denying LeBron the opportunity to be in the Lakers circle of champions by winning it this year, and seeing Bam Adebayo against AD and LeBron. Like, I would love to see that series, because I think it would be tremendously entertaining and the storylines would be all over the place.
Well, let me give the stats for LeBron in the fourth, for podcast purposes. 1 of 4 from the field in the fourth quarter and 6 of 8 from the foul line. So there you go for that. Yeah. Now, you mentioned, Jason at his Heat over here.
Because, Rick, I picked the Heat to go to the finals before the playoffs started. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
I might have mentioned that.
As did my son, Matt, as it turns out.
See, there you go. Oh, great again. Minds.
Great book minds, Matt, absolutely.
Book Matt Bucher for next week.
I'm on the other side of this, Rick. I had picked the Celtics. Do they have a puncher's chance? I'm still curious. It took a call to me from me to the locker room to get Jason Tatum to score after that zero in the first half. Still made it interesting.
Yeah. Look, can they extend the series? Maybe a game? Yeah, I suppose that they can. But the Miami Heat have demonstrated that they are just the tougher, more physical team. It's really come down to that. And I love their chemistry. I thought that Boston would win the series because they had more collective experience playing in the playoffs together. But what we've really seen with the bubble is that playoff experience is really not a huge determining factor here. Your versatility, your physical toughness, and we just see so many young guys. I mean, Tyler Herro being an example, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo. I mean, we're seeing so many young guys flourish, and I think it's because the bubble more reflects an AAU atmosphere, and those young guys are more acclimated to that, where you're playing in tournaments. I mean, Matt Buecher can speak to this. He's played in those tournaments in Vegas, and you know, you don't have big crowds. You got like all kinds of games going on. You're just hanging with your boys at the hotel, and then playing games, and then going back to the hotel and go to the pool. And so, this is an atmosphere for the young guys. They are in their wheelhouse, whereas the older guys are used to the playoff crowds getting their energy going and getting them pumped up. And now they don't have that. And they're used to being able to go to their families and like be in a different atmosphere. So I really, I don't think it's any accident that we're seeing such young teams and relatively inexperienced teams flourish in the bubble. And I expected it kind of to be the other way around. I thought that it would be too much of a distraction and the old pros would be able to keep their heads in it, and that it was going to be a mental grind. And I think we overblew that by a whole lot about like just how mentally challenging the bubble was going to be. I think being separated from the families, sure, that's not fun, but that's been remedied. But there's no travel. I mean, you're in an amusement park, for God's sake, and you play basketball and hang out with your bros, going to dinner or lunch or whatever. I just, in the big picture, and all the political and social stuff aside, I don't think that the bubble has been as mentally taxing as we all advertised it to be going into it.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Buecher. That is at Rick Buecher until it's changed to Matt's dad. But it's at Rick Buecher right now, Fox Sports 1 analyst. My best to Matt. He's a very smart kid for picking the Heat to go to the finals. We'll talk to you next week as the games continue on.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for giving me another shot. And I'll have Matt in the bullpen.
You're the best, Rick. And I'll jab him upside the head the next time I see him for you.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll
see
you.
See you, Rick.
Great stuff there from Rick Buecher. You know, just really quick, that is a phenomenal point that Rick Buecher just made about how the young guys, this is their element, the AAU aspect to it, and going on the road and playing travel games. And, hey, we're going to spend some time this week. We're going to play in this tournament here in Vegas, or we're going to play here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's usually not a lot of fans around, and it doesn't seem like it's something so incredibly out of the norm as it would be for the older players. Now, clearly, they're used to playing in front of big crowds and everything else. But, you know, for guys like LeBron, I mean, how much does he remember going back when he was playing at St. Vincent St. Mary's?
Well, but it was still a packed crowd. I mean, it was still, they were putting them in massive gyms.
Yeah, and you're seeing all these players who are all coming through, and you're seeing John Calipari go, oh, yeah, I had him. Oh, and that guy. I had him for a year. Yep, and him. And that guy, too. Oh, and that guy. 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 I mean, really, that's a great point by Rick Buecher. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Twitter at HowAboutAFresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, we'll have more on this game and more on what Ryan Fitzpatrick was wearing following that Dolphins win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you flip. That's next. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. And, you know, Mike, there's a couple of things that I really need explained to me. Number one is the trailer for WandaVision.
Yeah.
I really don't understand what
you
the
mean going through
on.
The decades with all the different looks and everything.
I don't know.
I'm just excited Catherine Hahn's in there.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Sure. They have a pretty good supporting cast in there, but they're like famous sitcom couples of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and then they're
and the 90s and today.
And they're doing superhero things, and I don't understand. And I can't get any description online. I don't think anybody really knows.
No, I think that's the beauty of it.
I can't understand. What is it about? I don't understand. How is it this way? How does it look like the Vision and the Scarlet Witch are a married couple in a 50s sitcom complete with a laugh track? I don't understand. I don't get it. Either this is really, really high concept and it's going to be groundbreaking television like it's Watchmen or Twin Peaks, or it's going to be something where the MCU is going to say, yeah, no, we don't talk about WandaVision. No, we don't talk about that. That's not canon. We don't talk. We are just ignoring that and we're moving on to Loki. And we're moving on. We're moving on to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're moving on to something else. We're moving on.
Well, I mean, if it really goes terribly, then that means the Black Widow movie gets moved back up. Keep bouncing back. It's like, what are we going to do now? Push it to May. Okay. So you got that going for you. But with this, I think it was let's spit out some high concept art, see how people respond. Some are losing their minds. Some are losing their minds for other reasons. And then we'll take that test audience of, you know, the internet and decide where we really want to take this. Mm. Either way, I'm not a big Vision guy. No disrespect, Paul Bettany.
Hater.
Fine actor. I'm out.
Well, seriously, how do you fall in love with an android? I mean, he's not a real person.
Well, how do you talk to an angel? I mean, you just do, buddy. There you go, J.B. Walters show for all you that are paying attention.
Yeah, but still, I mean, when someone was made out of something and is not I understand, yes, Vision is getting more human where he's going, but he's not human. He's a machine. He's a robot. This is who I'm falling in love with.
Well, it seems by season two, you bring back Ultron if that's going to go that way.
Well, what does that tell you about what people think about men nowadays? Oh, here's Elizabeth Olsen. No, I can't.
Don't even start.
I can't.
Now you're going down a third rail, my man. You don't want to do that.
I can't find a human, so I'm going to date a robot. That's what I'm going to do. I mean,
you don't think that's a popular opinion by a lot of people right now? The way media works. you read the Twitterverse. You think the general assessment of men is really high right now? This speaks to a very big audience.
I want you to be my boyfriend. Come on in and say hello. Happy birthday, Pauly. Happy birthday, Pauly.
No, they scrubbed him.
Happy birthday, Pauly.
Stallone said he's taking the robot out of a re-release for the anniversary.
Oh, I know. The robot's the best part of Rocky IV.
I'm buying you that action figure for your birthday, the robot.
Happy birthday, Pauly.
Exactly.
The other thing that was really not understandable in the beginning, but then as time has gone on, and meaning the last half hour, no, I completely get it. Ryan Fitzpatrick had an incredible night for the Dolphins tonight. He threw for two touchdowns. He ran for one. The Dolphins thumped the Jacksonville Jaguars 31-13. And we'll get to the game itself in a couple of minutes, but I want to spend some time on what he wore on the NFL Network set following the game. Now, he comes out, you know, he's got the big beard, and it was the beard versus the mustache. And I have some definite beard mustache thoughts that you may not like. But it's definitely the beard and the mustache. He comes out with a big beard, and he's wearing a black print shirt that has, like, neon-colored pineapples on it. And he's got the shirt only buttoned up to about the middle of his chest. And you can see that his chest is as hairy as his beard.
I just found my Halloween costume, by the way.
He looks like, you know, you say Ryan Fitzpatrick, singer-songwriter of the 1970s. When people could look like that and still be musicians. Because you can't look like that now and be a musician unless you're trying to be somebody from 30, 40 years ago. I mean, but this is what guys looked like back then when they were in the music industry. Yeah, but wear a shirt all the way down here. It's going to be a print. I'm going to have a big, unruly beard. Yeah, this is who I am, and I can be a successful music singer.
My man is straight out of Stillwater. Come on.
Longer than fishes in the ocean.
You know, I was watching one of those. Hey, remember this collection? This is fantastic. And they give you like 12 seconds of some live performance or some, you know, something from one of the late night shows from back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this performance?
Yeah. Not quite Ed Sullivan on the Beatles for the first time.
Exactly. Everyone's on the peace train, and then you start going into the next song. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but this is some kind of outfit, boy. I'll tell you what.
I want to know where I can get that really shirt, man.
I don't know that you can. I think that was one of those shirts that maybe was made once and that was it.
That's too bad, because you're depriving America of greatness with that
shirt.
I mean,
that is some kind of look. But especially to say, screw it. I'm just going to have it buttoned, you know, to the middle. And I'm going to show my chest hair. I'm just going to do it.
And you know he went to Harvard, right? So I mean,
yes,
that's kind of
he is, and he's a smart quarterback.
He's a smart guy, and he likes to wear pineapple laden shirts. It's a beautiful thing.
I mean, not many people can pull that off.
No.
But like, see, like the big still that is making the rounds. I just tweeted it out as well. It's like he's waiting to do a song. Like he's gonna sing the Year of the Cat. Like he's gonna sing a long, long time ago. I don't know.
Get a little Don McLean in. I think the other thing he could have been is he could have been working on the set alongside Tom Selleck on Magnum PI.
Oh,
that
is
look as well.
Yeah, but with that, he's got to have a Detroit Tigers hat on. That's when the look becomes complete with the Tigers
hat. No, but that's Tom Selleck's shtick. He could just be his brother that really isn't into baseball.
From one of the other islands, you know, he's the one that lives on Kauai. You know, listen, we're on the main island. He's on Kauai. We don't see him very often because he lives on Kauai.
And then so trouble ensues when he comes in and you wonder if he isn't the evil brother.
Ryan, how did you feel about the game tonight? Look, I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to. But yeah, singer-songwriter of the 70s, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, that was
nicely
really
done.
That's it right there. Oh, are you kidding? I can't tell you how
really
many of those songs
see you tonight.
My mom made me listen to. Because that was, you know, that was when I was young and forming my musical taste. And luckily, you know, I moved on. But like those singer songwriters, like that was every bit of music. Like I wasn't listening to Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones when I was 5, 7, 8, 9 years old. No, it was all the stuff that was on the radio, which was Dan Fogelberg and all these other ones. And I'm going, okay, these are the songs I get. Barry Manilow. And
such is the language of love. I mean, those were all the albums I was listening to were the mm-hmm. Zeppelin and Jethro Tulls and all of those. Add a little bit of Willie Nelson back in and away we go.
Snot's running down.
Why is that the only line you know, man?
Because that's a line everybody knows.
50 years of great music.
That's the only line anybody knows from Jethro Tull. They know that and they know, hey, Aqualung.
Feeling like a dead duck. Spitting out
lines.
The pieces of your broken luck.
That's it. They know the lead singer's name is Ian, but it could be Ian Anderson. It could be Ian Happ. It could be. I mean, they don't know. It's just a guy named Ian. He's a singer.
You know what's funny is this year you've got Ian Anderson pitching for the Braves. So mm-hmm. when you pull his trading card out, you can't help but start singing a couple of bars off of Crest of a Knave, the Grammy award-winning album by Jethro Tull.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, Mike Harmon, and this is the absolute truth. And I know I've surprised a lot of people with this. I am 100% happy, and I rooted for the Dolphins the entire night tonight. Because I knew that with every team that gets one win, that gets the Jets closer to the number one overall pick and Trevor Lawrence. Because that's the reality of the Jets. They stink. They're not going to get any better. Their head coaching situation is awful. They're a daily embarrassment. That's what the Jets are. But they're still my team. They're still my daily embarrassment. And I know the Dolphins winning. This make because the Jaguars got to win. Dolphins got to win. I'm already looking this week. I'm looking where the 0-2 teams playing against each other. Okay, someone there is going to get a win. We're going to cross people off this list until the Jets are the only ones there at 0-16. I was so rooting for the Dolphins. I'm actually hashtagging with Fins Up and Marino and Laces Out and all of these things. Oh, I'm like, it's like I was a Dolphin fan tonight. Like, I'm like, yeah, dude, this is awesome. Look at Fitzmagic. This is so great. I was a complete and total lunatic. And the fact that I'm even hashtagging with Dolphins thing, I mean, I got problems. I got problems. I got issues when I'm actually using the hashtags, not just saying, hey, Dolphins win. Hey, that's nice. It's nice for the Jets because in theory, all right, I'm rooting for them to win. But obviously, if they lose, you know, keeping it under, you know, underneath a little bit and just, you know, all right, I just want you to know I want my team to win. But underneath, hey, if they no, I am completely over the top of this. Tank for Trevor. Here we are. Dolphins win. That takes you out of the running for the number one overall pick. And boom, it's a big day for the Jets. Hashtag fins up.
I like the way you work. It's, you know, Operation Meltdown here all the way through. And I know you were cheering for Fitzpatrick. You kept texting me how excited you were. Not so much, you know, you buried Gascon with his Minshew love. But, you know, what are you going to do? Sometimes that's just the way the ball bounced. A couple of bad interceptions. I believe our colleague Bucky Brooks, you hear him here on the weekends, he called it hero ball. I think it echoed what I was saying before is you're just trying to make stuff happen that is not there. It is just not there. Great work by the back seven. of the Dolphins, even with a couple of injuries, they slid in and into new roles and dominated here and kept him at bay. James Robinson had a nice game on the other side, but for your efforts, I mean, it's going to be a long, you know, next 15 weeks, man. You're going to have to sweat this out. No question about it.
Well, I always knew it was going to be a long 15 weeks. I mean, it was going to be, no matter what, it was going to be a long 15 weeks.
Well, the fact that your coach addressed the media and said, we're looking for people with a pulse.
Yeah. Anybody with a pulse can play wide receiver this week. I'm actually starting for the Jets on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you could work out of the slot, maybe get lost behind the linebackers. And get a little bit of yak before you get blown up. I mean, that.
Well, I'm playing. Well, the thing is, I'm playing both ways Sunday. I'm playing safety and wide receiver, so it's like being in high school. I'm playing both ways Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting dilemma. I'll make sure to have an extra pint or quart or gallon of Blue Emu ready and available for you.
Well, considering the last time I think I ran was like a year and a half ago, because, you know, I decided I'm not going to run.
You're done with that?
I want to run. Well, no, not working out, but just, you know, running. I'm like, I'm done running. Running is.
You're like Jerry Seinfeld. I choose not to run.
No. Running is. I can't stand. Running is just. Oh, my God. It's awful. I can't stand running. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Last week is in the books. Now's the time to review the tape and prepare for this week. And no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before, just like me watching the Jets. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code JS, that's my initials, JS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week 3 action. Enter code JS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code JS, my initials JS, only at DraftKings. Make it rain, REIGN. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Well, coming up next, off the heels of the Dolphins and the Jaguars tonight, something up till this point in the season we have seen that I can't remember seeing as often as we do and have seen so far this year. All right, so the first 2 weeks of the season, we're into week 3 right now. There is something I am seeing on a large scale I haven't seen in many years in the NFL. What is it? Find out next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. We got more on the Lakers and the Nuggets coming up in 10 minutes, including what the one thing the Nuggets are going to be saying to themselves after this series is over, as it is one step away from being over following the Lakers' win tonight in Game 4. But Thursday Night Football, we're getting ready for Week 3. We had the first game. We had the Dolphins win in big-time fashion against the Jaguars. You know, everybody was hot and heavy on the Jaguars. Should have known. Vegas is cleaning up. Ryan Fitzpatrick has an incredible game. Two incomplete passes, two touchdowns. He ran for a touchdown. And even though they're winning, you still have to think that some Dolphins fans are going, oh, great, now we're not going to get a great draft. They're winning. And coming off this game tonight and really what we've seen so far the first 2 weeks, Mike, is that I can't remember the last time this many fan bases were fed up with their teams after week 2. Literally a third of the league fan bases are fed up. They want head coaches fired. They want new quarterbacks. They want trades. I get that we're all jumpy now and we're, you know, quick to anger and quick to be an upset and we vent about our sports teams, but this is more so than any other time I can remember looking at these teams and saying the fan bases of everybody are so incredibly fed up on Sunday. Every single Sunday we see it. No matter what. Jets fans, Giants fans, Texans, Broncos, Eagles, Lions, Vikings, Falcons. They all want Dan Quinn fired. I'm trying to trade Adam Gase for Dan Quinn. The Panthers. I mean, that is a third of the league that's 0-2 and think this is it. we have no hope, and I'm done. And this is when you can see some of the ratings go down, because this is where fans of these teams are going to say, you know what, I'm unplugging. And maybe it's not this week, but you get to week five, week six, and you're 1-4, 1-5. I mean, that's when it happens, because nobody has the patience for their teams anymore. But, you know, I know that everybody, you know, after week two, it gets to a point where like, oh, now how are we going to make the playoffs? But this year, more than any, there are more fan bases that are just so fed up with their teams than I can remember.
Well, I think part of it, you know, you mentioned just everybody's on edge for every reason, right? Just pick anything out of the air, anything you read off the local news site or any of your social media accounts. There's certainly something to be upset about in your neighborhood, in your house, right? Everybody's got a lot of stresses. Hopefully you're all doing okay. Thanks for being part of what we're doing here and part of the family here at Fox Sports Radio, having a laugh with us, breaking down the games and celebrating Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard and his shirt selection as you go. But look, even in places where they're winning, they're 2-0 in Chicago, and they're still calling for everybody's head.
Yeah, they still want people out. Eh, we're not winning enough.
Give me Nick Foles. Matt Nagy doesn't know what he's doing. This guy's terrible. This guy, why did we give up all that stuff for Khalil Mack? I mean, just keep on going. I mean, there's stories for all of it. I think it's just the nature of the beast right now. The overload of sensory, we had sensory deprivation for a while, right? Because all you did was binge watch stuff, but the story had already been written. Maybe you didn't know it, but you know, someone turned you on to a show. You always try to turn me on to a show. What do? You give me a bunch of the details that, all right, I don't need to watch this because, well, he's now giving me a bunch of the details. So between that and movies, then sometimes that's the case. Whereas, you know, live sports, live theater, and your emotions perhaps maybe at a heightened awareness of everything that's going on. And let's face it, everybody's a keyboard warrior with their 280 characters or their quick response on Facebook or going to their Instagram story to curse out their quarterback for a bad pass. The immediacy seems more so than ever of just wanting to vent about everything, right? That we've hit that. We've always had it, mm-hmm. And that's fandom. But this year seems maybe even for the good teams bad. You know what? It's a good release, though, because you're taking it out on your teams and not on the people of your lives.
Well, that's true. And it clearly is where, hey, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go, and I'm just fed up with a lot of things, so I'm going to continue to be fed up with my team.
No, sure.
No, there's a lot of things that go along with it.
He's 80 yards down the sideline on the first play.
Listen, I'm like Voldemort, where I've lost pieces of my soul every time the Jets give up a big play. I have no Horcruxes left. I'm done at this point.
I got to figure out where I can do that and dissolve you.
I've done
Voldemort. There's got to be an app for that.
The 55-yard run on 3rd and 31, that was the final Horcrux. That was it. That was knocking Harry out of me.
You turned to ash.
Lakers, Nuggets, what do we think? Fox.